Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Most people invest heavily in their futures, but wise believers know that the real future lies in the hands of God, not in any plans we can make. Like the martyr Stephen, our ultimate destiny lies beyond this life. Forget the 401k. Today, you're going to hear about the eternal future ahead for a child of God. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Turn with us to Acts chapter 6. Erwin Lutzer comes now to teach us that when God is first, He owns our future.
So, what is it like to put God first in your life? The goal of this series of messages, you remember, is to transfer ownership into His hands so that at the end of the day, we own nothing. Everything is in His hands, including our future, our entertainment, what we see on the internet, the way in which we view our relationships. God is first. What a transformation that really does make in our lives. And if God is first, then we really have nothing ultimately to fear because we know that our eternity is secure. Today I have the delight in preaching on the first martyr, Stephen. I say delight because here's a man who put God first. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was full of boldness. He was brought to the Sanhedrin, the Jewish court. And they were interrogating him. And it says in chapter 6 of the book of Acts, verse 15, all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. And they could not resist the spirit and the power with which he spoke. Wow. But we're going to zero in on his death. Because you remember, after he gave his speech, and we don't have time to go through the speech, interesting though it is, I do point out in chapter 7, verse 51, and imagine me saying this to the congregation some Sunday, okay? Just imagine me standing up and saying, you stiff-necked people with uncircumcised, that is, disobedient hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You've always resisted the Holy Spirit. Well, you'd go home and say, I wonder what pastor had for breakfast in the morning. Well, you can imagine that this did not go over well. In fact, what's interesting is if you had interviewed the members of the Sanhedrin, they'd have said, our hearts are fine. It is Stephen's heart that is wrong. Nobody likes to have their true hearts revealed. Nobody likes to really be told what is in their hearts, even if it is true. And so the people greatly resisted. Could I say parenthetically today that there could be somebody here who's absolutely convinced that they are right, but you may be wrong about Jesus? And so I urge you to listen to this message and to understand its implications for today, yes, but for all of eternity. But what we're going to do is to look at the text directly. Because the question that we want to answer today for someone who for whom God is first, somebody who has received Jesus Christ and trusts Jesus Christ as Savior, what does it mean for their future, the fact that their future is in God's hands? What can they expect? The reason I find this passage so interesting is perhaps you've had the experience of being in a hospital when someone has died, a relative, a friend, or maybe you've come into a home where there was a sudden death. The paramedics come and they take the body away and you feel so empty, so alone, so grievous. But here's the question. If a person is a believer in Jesus Christ, what is it that they are seeing? Here we have an opportunity to look behind the curtain. Now, the people who were stoning Stephen, they couldn't see into heaven to see what he saw. But it's one of the few times in the Bible that we actually have the curtain pulled back and we get a glimpse of what lies on the other side. And what lies on the other side for Stephen, what was there for him, is there for you and for me too when we pass behind that curtain and we arrive on the other side. So what is it like for a Christian to die, someone whose future is in God's hands? First of all, I want you to notice that they are welcomed by Jesus. It says in verse 54, when they heard this, they were furious. That is the Sanhedrin and the others, and they gnashed their teeth at him. By the way, Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit, and they were full of anger. Maybe I should pause here today and ask you, what is in your heart? What are you filled with? The Spirit? Anger or resentment? But notice, first of all, we receive the welcome of Jesus. What a lovely passage. But Stephen, verse 55 of chapter 7, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. There he sees the Shekinah glory. There he sees that cloud that we read about in the Old Testament where God was localized. God is everywhere, but there's a sense in which he said, I'm going to let you see a little bit of my glory. And that also happened on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was there and he suddenly was transformed into blazing, dazzling, pure white. And Stephen looks up and he sees the glory of God. And then to the right hand, he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Now, in order to understand that significance, we need a little bit of history. In the Old Testament times, no priest was ever allowed to sit down because that would give the impression that his work was over. So there were no chairs in the temple. There were 8-hour shifts, and you stood the whole 8 hours, because no matter how many sacrifices were offered, you were never finished. And God wanted to make that point. It also says now, especially in the book of Hebrews, that when Jesus finished what he did, he ascended into heaven and he sat down. Don't miss the point. His work was done. It is finished. It was all completed. Finished. And so he sat down. About 10 times in the New Testament, we read that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And now think of how remarkable it is. Stephen is being stoned, and as he looks into heaven, he sees the clouds part. He sees the glory of God, and he sees Jesus getting up from his chair and standing at the right hand of God. Can't you almost hear Jesus saying, Stephen, be faithful, because in a few moments we're going to be together. I'm here for you. So you leave the hospital room, and your wife, God bless you, you widows and you widowers, those of you who have lost a child, you leave the hospital room and there's that emptiness and that loneliness, and maybe it's raining outside and you just think all the world is dreary. I want you to know today that if they are believers in Jesus, they have met Jesus face to face. And don't misunderstand when I say if they had the opportunity to come back to this world, I most assuredly believe that they would say no, not because they don't love you, but because they're in the presence of Christ who's waiting for them. D.L. Moody was very fearful of death as a young man. It terrified him. But after he grew in his understanding of the gospel and his confidence, he no longer feared death. And some of his last words were these words, earth is receding, heaven is opening. If this be death, it is glorious. Wow. You know, in ancient times, before people were sedated with heavy medication, they often saw Jesus and actually reported what they saw. I mean, I just want you to all to understand that there's a spirit world out there. And what I'm talking about is not theological terms. I'm talking about reality. Just want you to let that sink into your heart. There's a spirit world out there where those who are departed in Jesus go to be with him, and they see what Stephen saw. And it's glorious. In a previous message, I told you the story about Sanborn, Reverend Sanborn in Iowa, visiting a little girl dying on the couch, and she was there in the twilight, between life and death, and she said, I want to go to heaven, but Mamie goes in ahead of me. And then her head was still on the pillow, and then she said, I want to go to heaven, but Gramps is ahead of me. And then later that morning, she died. And he wondered, who is Mamie and Gramps? So he checked it out with the family and discovered that Mamie was a little girl who had moved to New York. Gramps was a man who had moved to the Southwest. And after investigation, discovered that both of them died that same Saturday morning. This is reality. A welcome from Jesus. Now, of course, let me say that the folks who were listening to what he said, they were livid. You'll notice he says in verse 56, Stephen is reporting on what he is seeing. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Now, the reason that the people became so angry when Stephen said this is because when Jesus was before Pilate in the 26th chapter of Matthew, he said these words, from now on you shall see the Son of Man at the right hand of power coming in the clouds of glory. Stephen was in effect verifying the very words of Jesus that these Sanhedrin people had heard, and they were angry. At this, verse 57, they covered their ears so that they wouldn't have to listen to this kind of blasphemy. And yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him and dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. What happens when God is first and we've trusted his Son, Jesus, and our eternity is in his hands? Number one, we are welcomed by Jesus.
I sure hope that you listen to Running to Win next time, because we'll go on to explain all that happens when a Christian dies. But let me ask you a question. Are you born again? I asked a person that question, and he pointed to a certificate on a wall that he had been baptized. Well, you can be baptized many times and not be born again. You can attend church. We think of all the people who have been deceived because they thought becoming a Christian is something external, not understanding it's a miracle of God. In order for you to understand this more clearly, we're offering a resource entitled The New Birth by Peter Mead. For a gift of any amount, it can be yours. Why? Because we desire to help you as you run toward the finish line, but also this is an excellent book to give to someone who is searching for the truth. If you want to know what the new birth is and its radical reordering of our lives and priorities, remember the book, The New Birth. I hope that you will make sure you have a copy.
You've just heard Pastor Erwin Lutzer with part one of He Owns Our Future, the seventh message in his series, When God Is First, taken from the book of Acts. Next time, more about the eternal wonders ahead for those who belong to Christ. Peter Mead has written a book about a meeting between Jesus and Nicodemus, in which Jesus talks about the need for the new birth. Mr. Mead tells why this birth is the dividing line between the saved and the unsaved. A copy of The New Birth will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support the outreach of Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about the new birth. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.